Psalm 15. And you will find that on page 388 in the Bibles in front of you if you are using those Bibles. But follow along with me as we read God's Word this morning. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? And who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous. He who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue. Who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow men. Who despises the vile man but honors those who fear the Lord. Who keeps his oath even when it hurts. Who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Great words. Look forward to hearing what God has to say to us this morning.
Thank you so much, Andrew, for that beautiful song today. Andrew is quite a transformation artist. I don't know how many of you got to go yesterday to the bed races that were downtown, but we had Princess Homer. Please stand, Princess. And his entourage of fairies. Andrew, stand up. Thomas, stand up. Bill Ireland, stand up. What's that?
Prince Charming.
Oh, and Prince Charming. Yes. Josh, stand up. There was Prince Charming. Prince Charming was leading the way with a sword. And the three fairies were dressed in prom gowns. It must have been a sight. I didn't get to see it. I am anxiously awaiting the paper to come out tomorrow because there's supposed to be photographs. I don't know. But they were raising money for the new free clinic through the youth and that type of a thing. And they represented the church well. And I want to thank all of you, gentlemen, for your participation in that. You can be seated now. It must have been a sight. That's all I can say. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask once again if you would please open up to the 15th Psalm. Psalm number 15. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the godly. You know, as we consider what God has established as His will and as His program for eternal life, He has included us. And in that inclusion, God has established that there are some parameters that we must follow if we ultimately want to be a part of His eternal kingdom. And David, the psalmist, was deep in contemplation. And he is looking at the requirements that God has established and what God is expecting for man to be in order to be included as a part of God's kingdom. And as we begin to look at this, we'll sense almost a sense of frustration in David. But he answers what are the genuine requirements. And I'm going to reread this particular passage from the New American Standard Version. Pastor Homer did a great job with the NIV. That's your pew Bibles. But I want you to hear this in the New American Standard. before I share with you six things regarding the godly. Now notice, as David begins this, he says, O Lord, who may dwell in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, when we look at the words penned by David, Lord, we realize that what a daunting task it would be to live this way in our own strength. But Father, you haven't asked us to do that. Instead, you have invested yourself in us. You have sent your Holy Spirit to indwell us, that he may walk with us, and that he might teach us and guide us, and that he might help us and be our comforter and strength and our helper in present times of trouble. You have drawn close to us to give us the grace, the dignity, and the authority to live according to your plan. Lord, help us to not be stubborn clay, but instead help us to be able to be molded in your image, and help us to honor you in every aspect of our walk with you. And we'll give you thanks and praise. Now open our hearts and our minds to your word, for it's in your glorious and holy name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we look at this particular passage of Scripture dealing with the characteristics of the godly, I want to share with you the who, the walker, the worker, the wordsmith, the contrast, and the integrity. And so let's begin to look at this. As David is contemplating, there is a sense of, and you can read it in his word, but there is a sense of overwhelming wonder as he opens up this particular psalm. And as he begins this, it's almost with a point of exasperation when he says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who can abide there? Who may dwell on your holy hill? And so that's the very first thing we want to look at. We want to look at the who. Folks, the who are those who have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. The who are those who have entered into a relationship with Christ through the repentance of their sins, through seeking God's forgiveness, and then beginning that process of a long, enduring walk of faith throughout this life. In our own strength and in our own ability and in our own character, not a one of us here can invest ourselves in the tent of God. Not a one of us can attain the status and the stature of being able to dwell on his holy hill. But with the Spirit of Christ indwelling us, with the power of God investing himself in us, we can be more than conquerors through Christ, who loves us and who gave himself up for us. Who may dwell with God? You may dwell with God. Who may dwell with God? I may dwell with God. Who may dwell with God? Everyone who is born may dwell with God. But we must come to God through His will and through His power, and through His forgiveness and through His cleansing, not our own strength. We must repent of our sins and seek God's forgiveness and be born again into Jesus Christ if we are to have the hope of dwelling in God's eternal city. Whosoever will may come. Who? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Who? Those who come to God through the gate, Jesus Christ. Anyone else, the Bible says, is a thief and a liar if they try to come any other way than through Christ, who is the gate to life. Who? The opportunity is available to everyone. It doesn't mean everyone's going to go. But those who go the way of God's will, those who go the way of God's call, those who go by the way of faith in Jesus Christ have life. Any other way is not going to do it. Oh, there's a place for them. It's called hell, that ultimately gets cast into the lake of fire, where there is torment and torture and a constant reminder every moment that they didn't have to be there. But God is offering an escape from that to a place of love, joy, peace, comfort. God is offering, as an alternative to hell and a lake of fire, He is offering heaven and peace forever. Who? Those who choose to go God's way. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So as David asked this question, who is going to be able to do this? He moves into a life, he moves into a lifestyle of obedience to God. And Jesus talked about that. He said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, in that you obey everything that I have commanded you." And so obedience is a very, very important aspect of life and of eternal life. And so the who is to anyone who will come to God in His way. Now I want you to notice then the life that transpires from that moment of entrance into the kingdom. Notice secondly the walker. Look at this. It begins with the beginning of verse 2. Who is it who may abide in thy tent? Who is it who may dwell on thy holy hill? Here it is. He who walks with integrity and works righteousness. He who walks, first of all, with integrity, the walker. The person who is going to honor God in every area of his life. The person who is going to fulfill the Word of God in the way that he lives. You know, in modern day times, there's an awful lot of this thought of easy believism. And then it doesn't matter how you live afterwards. Folks, it's dangerous to fall into that kind of a pit. But instead, we must walk in integrity. Jesus said, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Anything other than that is sin. And so you need to walk in your integrity. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. Walk in the fashion that I am walking. Follow means to pattern your life after the life of Christ. And that becomes an important aspect of our discovery of the will of God and being able to walk in a fashion that brings honor to His name. Who is it who may abide in thy tent? Who is it that may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity. Who honors who they are, who He is. Who honors living a life of honesty before God. Integrity. The walker needs to be faithful to God. Number three, I want you to notice that the next aspect of this is the worker. Again, that second verse, notice the second part of it. He who walks with integrity and works righteousness. And works righteousness. Now, I want you to understand, we are not saved by works. But if we are not living any works after our entrance into a relationship with Jesus Christ, then we're not saved either. We need to understand that. James says in the book of James in the New Testament, he said, look, I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, as faith has become the entrance into the kingdom of God, I'm going to demonstrate that by a changed life. I'm going to demonstrate that by walking in a way that brings honor to Him, but in working for the kingdom and for its principles. And a part of those works, folks, are very simple stuff, very simple things. It is to pray. It is to study the Word of God. It is to pray for the people of God and for the people who don't know God. It is to involve ourselves in prayer in a very specific way. It is to share our faith with Jesus Christ. Why are we following God? In other words, just simply be witnesses. It is to live out a life of honesty and integrity before the world so that when people see us, they see Christ in us. That's working our faith. That's working our way through this life. And James says, look, you may talk about your faith without works. I will demonstrate my faith by my works, by fulfilling your commands for me. If you desire to be what God wants you to be, you must work your salvation for Christ. Be honest before God and before the world. Be open before God and before the world. Walk faithfully with God before the world and privately. Just continually allow your life to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get out of the mindset of worldliness and world living and get into the mindset of spiritual life. If you want to have a victorious Christian life, you need to work your faith. Read, pray, witness. You know, all of those basic tenets of the faith. Follow through on those. And those are the works that are going to build you and help you to be what God wants you to be. Number four, I want you to notice the wordsmith. Look at the third part of verse 2 and then through verse 3. He speaks truth in his heart and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. The wordsmith. He speaks truth in his heart. Folks, truth is who Jesus Christ is. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the truth. He doesn't contain truth. He is truth. And if we are going to be His people, we need to be people of truth. That means we don't lie to our neighbor. We don't lie to the phone company. You know, the check's in the mail. We are people of truth. If we make a pledge to someone, we're going to follow through on it. We make a pledge to missionaries, we're going to follow through on our support for those missionaries. If we make a pledge to pray for another individual, we need to follow through and to pray for those individuals. Several weeks ago, we had looked at a message regarding missions in a fashion. But where we were going to, there were many in this congregation who came forward and said, look, I'm going to pledge myself to praying for three nations and for the leaders of those nations. If you're one of those ones who stood and came forward, how you doing? You see, when you stood and came forward, that was a vow to God. How you doing? Are you praying for those nations? Are you praying for those leaders? Are you asking God to protect them, but if they're godless leaders, to protect those that they serve over or lord over? Are you asking God to do His will in their life? Because you know what His will is for their life? His will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the will of God. You want to pray for a godless leader? Pray for God's will. What is God's will? It isn't to zap them with a giant fly swatter. It is to convert them and to change them from being evil leaders to being leaders that are going to honor Him. That's going to make things easier on the people that they lead over. But you see, if you have not been following through on that, you lied to God. Who may dwell in my tent? He who speaks truth in his heart. He who is honest. Who doesn't cover up, but who tells the truth. And folks, that becomes a very, very vital part of our life. The words that we speak are the words that we'll be judged by. And it's important that we speak the truth. You know, if you always tell the truth, you never have to worry about covering up the lie. You never have to worry about it. You'll only have one story to tell, and that's the truth. Who may dwell there? He who speaks truth in his heart, does not slander with his tongue, doesn't do evil to his neighbor, takes up a reproach against his friend. But you know what? Sometimes that means going to that friend and telling them the truth. Sometimes you lose a friend. Sometimes you gain a friend. But sometimes you lose them. You say the truth, even if it's painful. You see, Jesus did that. There were times when people did not want to hear what Jesus had to say. That's why they rushed at him and tried to crucify him early. That's why they ultimately did crucify him. That's why when the apostles in the book of Acts spoke the truth and people didn't want to hear it, why they rushed at them and they gnashed at them with their teeth. Read the story of Stephen, the first martyr of the church. He spoke the truth. Be truthful. Number 5. I want you to notice the contrasts. Look at verse 4. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. Now, I want to show you some things here. Number 1, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised. Reprobate is one who is a denier of the existence of God and the integrity of God. They're a reprobate. They have sold themselves to pleasure, to wantonness, to greed, to all of those things that are contrary to the will of God. The next thing is that here's the contrast. But who honors those who fear the Lord, those who respect God, those who respect God's will and God's way, those who will be honest and who are going to reference what God has to say. The person who's going to dwell in the tent of God is going to be one who honors those people who are going to honor God. Well, Pastor, that's showing favorites. Yeah, it is. And you know what? It's perfectly okay. But now look at the third part of this. He swears to his own hurt. In other words, he honors what he has to say, even if it's going to cost him. He swears to his own hurt and he does not change. In other words, when he has made a vow, perhaps it's a business deal, perhaps it's whatever, when he makes a vow, even if it's going to cost him something, he honors that vow that he made. Are you a leader in this congregation? If you're a leader in this congregation, you made vows. Even if it's going to cost you some time and some effort, you honor those vows. You follow through. If you have entered into a business relationship or a business deal with someone, you honor that business deal. You honor it. becomes vital. Even if it's going to cost you something, you honor it. When we honor our vows and our word, even if it costs us, somewhere God blesses us. And He doesn't do it with dishonesty. He does it with integrity. Your reputation is vital. And that's important to remember. These are the contrasts. We look down upon the reprobates. We honor the people of integrity and honesty. We honor the commitments that we have made, the vows that we have taken. We don't change. I'm going to be that way in every circumstance. And then notice number 6, the integrity. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Once again, going back to this, he swears to his own hurt. He is not going to do anything that is going to create pain for someone else. He's not going to be able to be bribed. He's not going to be willing to receive that. Man, I wish that Washington would get this message. You don't take bribes. I wish that Washington would get to the point where they would recognize that, you know what, I am here as a servant of the people, not the special interests. And whatever the people of my district want, that's what I'm going to do. I wish they would get that message. But you know what? I wish the church would get that message too. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to say what's right. I'm going to follow through with what's right. Doesn't put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. You want to know a great bribe against the innocent that's been taken by this nation? It's called abortion. For the power of special interests and women's rights, we have thrown away the innocent. Murdered over 50 million unborn babies for taking a bribe against the innocent. What a tragedy. We need to have integrity. We need to do what's right. And the conclusion of all of this is this: he who does these things will never be shaken. You'll not fall. God will honor you when you honor Him. God will bless you when you bless Him. God will encourage you and not discourage you. God will bless your life. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please take your hymnals and open up to number 206. There is a Redeemer. If you're here today and you'd have to say, you know, I haven't been fulfilling my promises to God, my promises to my fellow man, and I need to take care of that. Now's a perfect time to do it. While we're singing, why don't you step out and come forward? I won't bother you. No one will bother you. Just time with you and Jesus. We'll just have a closing word of prayer and ask God to bless and meet whatever need you might have. But this is not going to be confession time for anybody else. Just confession time with you and the Lord. So if God is speaking to you, why don't you step out? Give it over to Him. And let the Redeemer redeem that which has been lost in your life. So let's sing number 206. We're going to sing it all the way through. It's a short one. And if God is speaking to you, you step out and come. Our gracious Father, my prayer for each of us today is that we would be people that you could bless. Father, any hindrances in our lives, we ask that you would be the ultimate supreme judge of those things, that you would show us what we need to resolve. Father, teach us to walk in integrity before you. Teach us to walk in integrity before our fellow man. Teach us to honor you by being honest, truthful, and by walking in the path that you have established for us. Teach us, Father, to work our faith so that your kingdom may grow. Now, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would watch over us and give us guidance and direction, help and encouragement. Strengthen us according to your powerful right arm of righteousness. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your love for us. Now, please guide us with your Spirit, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.